Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatate Shatane Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8, Text 35. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Na Aham Bhakshitavan Amba Sarave Mithya Abhishansinaha Yadi Satya Giraha Tarhi Samaksham Pasya Me Mukham. Naham bhakshitavan amba sarve mithya bhishansinaha yadi satya girastarhi samaksham pasyame mukham. Naham bhakshitavanamba sarve mithya bhisanshinaha yadi satya girastarhi samaksham pasyame mukham.
Naham bhakshitavan amba
sarve mithya bhishansinaha
yadi satya
girastahi
samaksham
pasyame mukham.
Naham
bhakshitavan amba sarve mithya
bhishansinaha
yadi satya girastarhi
samaksham
pasyame mukham.
Naham bhakshitavan amba
naham bhakshitavan amba
sarve mithya bhishansinaha
sarve mithya bhishansinaha
satya girastarhi samaksham pasyame mukham
aham bhakshitavan amba
naham bhakshitavan amba
sarve mithya bhishansinaha
sarve mithya bhishansinaha
yadi satya girastarhi
naham bhakshitavanamba
naham bhakshitavanamba
sarve mithya bhishansinaha
sarve mithya bhishansinaha
yadi satya girastarhi
yadi satya girastarhi
samaksham pasyame mukham
samaksham pasyame mukham. Naham bhakshitavanamba
sarve
mithya bhishansinaha
yadi satya girastarhi
samaksham pasyame mukham. Naham bhakshitavanamba
sarve
mithya bhishansinaha
not aham, I. Bhakshitavan, have eaten dirt. Amma, my dear mother. Sarave, all of them. Mitya, abhisangshinaha. All liars simply complaining against me so that you may chastise me. Yadi, if it is actually a fact, satya giraha, that they have spoken the truth, tarhi, then, samaksham, directly, pasha, see, may, my, mukham, mouth. First translation. Lord Sri Krishna replied, my dear mother, I have never eaten dirt. All my friends complaining against me are liars. If you think they are being truthful, you can directly look into my mouth and examine it. Purport. Krishna presented himself as an innocent child to increase the transcendental ecstasy of maternal affection, as described in the Shastra. Tarana bhayan mit Yogtir Vatsalya Rasa Poshika. This means that sometimes a small child speaks lies. For example, he may have stolen something or eaten something and yet deny that he has done so. We ordinarily see this in the material world, but in relation to Krishna, it is different. Such activities are meant to endow the devotee with transcendental ecstasy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead was playing as a liar and accusing all the other devotees of being liars. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krita Punya Punjaha, a devotee may attain such an ecstatic position after many, many births of devotional service. Persons who have amassed the results of a vast amount of pious activities can attain the stage of associating with Krishna and playing with him like ordinary playmates. One should not consider these transactions of transcendental service to be untruthful accusations. One should never accuse such devotees of being ordinary boys speaking lies, for they attain this stage of associating with Krishna by great austerities. Tapasa brahmacharyena shamena cha damena cha. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Shreshtam Manamapi Shachiputram Atra Swarupam Rupam Tasya Grajamurupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhava Shamprapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tamnatos. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavams Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagarna Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam. Guru Vaishnav Bhagavan Tine Smarane Hoi Bigna Binashan Anayashe Hoi Nijavan Chita Puran Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Before commenting on this verse, I'll comment on the way I sung the Mangalati this morning. You may have noticed it was somewhat different from a little variation on the tunes I've been singing for many years and which I have asked you to sing. I've been singing Mangalati according to what I learned approximately 1975 when I sung it in the wrong tune and was severely chastised by the Tamil president, who was offering the aarti at the same time. He stopped offering to chastise me. He was standing right next to me, Radha Landanisra temple, buried place. You could almost shake hands with Krishna. You're so close. And I heard from others and from Jayadvaita Maharaj's instructions on this. And the way I sing it is not outside the scope of what Srila Prabhupada said, but as a devotee in Russia pointed out to me last year, Srila Prabhupada also sung on a higher part of the raga. I don't know all the technicalities of this. So, just explaining that. Which you do here anyway also, some of you, Chittahari and others. So, on with the class. Leela's easy to understand. It's easy to follow, right? Hear the stories. Krishna's eating dirt or not eating dirt and showing his pastimes. And all his philosophy is very difficult, but I'm puzzled here. I don't know what to make of this. Here Srila Prabhupada says, one should never accuse such devotees of being ordinary boys speaking lies, but it's Krishna himself who's accusing ordinary or them of speaking lies. So what do you do? It's inconceivable. Krishna himself is a liar. He says he's never eaten dirt. But he's eaten the whole universe of dirt. There's nothing that... If an ordinary child can eat dirt, that's the same logic, right? If an ordinary man can have many sons, then why does God only have one son? If an ordinary man has feelings for women, why not God? So everything comes from him. So, and if an ordinary man can tell lies, then why can't God tell lies? But Srila Prabhupada says they didn't tell lies. That maybe Srila Prabhupada's telling lies, because he says, oh, I don't know. It's Leela is inconceivable, that's all. I should have had Mukunda give class on this. You can sort it all out tomorrow. I didn't look at the verse or purport before I read it, and I'm stuck here, I'm bewildered. What am I supposed to do? All of my friends complaining against me are liars. Yeah, so you go to the spiritual world where everyone is pure and they're telling lies. Don't associate with bad association, people who tell lies, for instance. But in the spiritual world, they're telling lies. Krishna says that they're telling lies. But what do you expect? They're Mathura people. They're supposed to tell lies. It's part of their nature, right? That Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta parnashyati. Krishna tells Arjuna, you tell everyone that my devotee never perishes. And Vishwanath says, the meaning is people won't believe me because I'm from Mathura and everyone knows that Mathura people are all liars. So you tell it. They won't believe me. So Hare Krishna, what are we to make of all of this? Don't eat dirt. All right, don't eat dirt. You say, well, Krishna's eating dirt. Is he eating dirt or is he not eating dirt? It doesn't get resolved. But then again, he has eaten all the earth, water, fire, air, and ether in the universe, and the universe itself. And he doesn't eat it because it's already in him. And he may say, well, why do we offer food to Krishna? He's already eaten everything. Right? When he gets hungry, he eats the whole universe. But he's never hungry. He's always fully satisfied. But he's hungry to suck the breast of Mother Yashoda. He wants that. He becomes upset when she leaves him and goes off to take the milk off the stove. we should offer food to Krishna. Why? What's the logic? Logic is, Krishna says, patrang pushpang palang tayang yame bhakta prayachati. Tadahang bhakti uparitam ashnami prayatat manaha. Krishna tells, he likes it. Offer me a leaf, flower, fruit or water with devotion. I will accept it. Krishna likes that. So, someone else may hear this, Duryodhana may hear this and say, well, I offered him a whole big feast and he didn't accept it. He didn't want to eat from me. It's a big insult, actually. Duryodhana thought he'd capture Krishna by his invitation and get his approval. As Srila Prabhupada said, if you eat from someone, then they become obliged to them. That's why Srila Prabhupada, well, one reason he explained why we should give prasadam and people feel obliged. They feel that they have to reciprocate with you. So someone may do that, invite for a meal with their own purpose to get your favor. Bhishma and Drona, they felt obliged to fight for Duryodhana because they'd been eating from him. They'd been living at his expense, or Dhritarashtra's expense. So Krishna didn't want to get trapped like that. He'll drink the milk from his mother's breast. He'll eat the banana peels given by the wife of Vidura, but he won't take the food offered by Duryodhana. It's a very insulting to refuse an invitation. You may do so by roundabout means, that I'm sick today, I'm fasting today, whatever. But to outright flat refuse it, it's a great insult. But Krishna didn't want to become obligated to Duryodhana. And he also, by not accepting his invitation, he made it known that I don't like you. You don't like my devotees? I don't like you. He would offer food to Krishna, but not with devotion. Krishna wants the devotion. And it is a major part of devotion to take food that is offered to Krishna. It's a very important part of the devotional process. It's actually offensive to take food which is not offered to Krishna. And there are so many statements in this regard. We have twice in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we find directly saying, don't eat the food of materialistic people. We have it in the Nectar of Devotion, we have it in the Nectar of Instruction. Well, there is the jiva vegam, udara vegam, the urges of the tongue and the belly. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada reiterates the point, that we should take on food only offered to Krishna. And in the Srila Prabhupada's letters, in his talks, he makes the point again and again and again. And I'm making this point now. The initiation ceremony is scheduled, and I want to impress this point upon my disciples because it seems to be the norm in ISKCON today to not follow this, to eat food which is not offered to Krishna. Vegetarian, you hope. Looks like it's vegetarian. But that's not the standard. I'm criticized for this. I hear indirectly that, I'm disciples of other gurus. Don't associate with his disciples. They're too strict. But it's not me. It's not my rule. I didn't invent it. It's a major anartha. It's a major obstacle in devotional service, because why do we eat food which is not offered to Krishna? For sense gratification. And that's what we're trying to get free from, if we're going to be Krishna conscious. So it's not that I'm being strict, but just following the basic things. And my thesis is that we have so many problems in our movement and so many arguments and dissensions and so many things. And one major reason is that devotees are eating food which is not supposed to be eaten by devotees. Because Bishoyer Onna Kaile Malin Hoiman. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says directly, the mind is contaminated by the food of materialists. It's pretty clear and straightforward. It's contaminating. So it may be difficult for you. It can be very difficult when there are senior devotees telling you, you should eat. You should eat this. You should go to, not just that you can, but that you should. You should take your family to a restaurant at least once a month or once a week. Vegetarian restaurant. You should, because you have to have some family fun or whatever. There's some reasoning behind it. But this is against the devotional principle. And then a senior devotee, how can you refute that? Senior devotee, but they should give you proper guidance. They're misleading otherwise. Even I heard yesterday a case of a devotee, she, with much difficulty, she's trying to get her children to eat only food cooked by devotees and offered to Krishna. Of course, you can offer anything to Krishna. You could theoretically get some meat and offer it to Krishna. You may think, well, he's just a statue, so he's not going to object. You can stick anything in front of the deity if you think the deity is just a wooden doll, or you have to make a show of worshipping. But Krishna says, yome bhaktya prayachati, should be offered with devotion. So cooked by devotees, offered according to this standard system. So this lady devotee is having great difficulty having her children follow this, and then she takes them to the temple and she sees that the senior devotees are eating food which is not offered to Krishna. In the Govinda's restaurant they have bread which is not cooked by devotees, and they have the cooks are all hired people who are not devotees. And so what they do outside, what they eat, what they do, they're not chanting around, they're cooking, and it's called Govinda's restaurant. And the children see. The children are very perceptive, especially if you tell them not to do something. They're very perceptive to try to find a loophole and take an example from someone else. So then what do you do? What do you advise? Don't go to the temple. Maybe you should, maybe you should advise not to go to the temple, the ISKCON temple, because if there's a situation there which is not favorable for advancement, it goes against the devotional principles, then maybe better not go. Just chant, and then the children will ask, well, why not go to the temple? It becomes a very difficult situation. So Krishna eats everything. But he asked us to offer certain things. And that is explicated by the acharyas, both by their practice and their precept. And we have to follow that if we're going to follow this. Krita punya punjaha. Heaps of pious activities. It's not a small thing to go back to Godhead. Okay, time to go back to Godhead. I'm just in the middle of my kami sandwich. Just wait a minute. Let me eat it first. No kami sandwiches in the spiritual world, I'm not going. No chocolate in the spiritual world, definitely. No way. Just invent a new spiritual planet where there's chocolate. Otherwise I'm not going. Well, that's it. We don't go. We have to, it's everything there, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, Krishna is the supreme autocrat. He's a dictator. He does what he likes. He's the supreme enjoyer. We have to get in line with him. In the beginning stages of, it's not really devotional service, but we can say neophytes on the threshold of the house of bhakti. Srila Prabhupada uses that phrase. We can say, do as you're doing and add Krishna. But that's not the perfection. The perfection is, thy will, not mine, be done. This is from Jesus. And then even higher than that is, I don't have any will of my own. I only do what Krishna wants. We have to get in line with Krishna. He's the supreme autocrat. He does the way that he does things the way that he likes. Why does he herd cows? Why does he play a flute? Because he likes to. That's the only, that's the reason. You don't have to give any other reason. For him, that's enough. And it's not for us to question. That's all. What does God do? He does what he likes. Why does he herd cows? That's what he likes to do. That is enough reason. And we think, what I like to do, that's enough reason. And that's enough reason for us to go on rotating in birth and death again and again and again. Because we think the reason for my existence is to do what I like to do. But the reason for our existence should be to do what Krishna wants us to do. That's all. Simple thing. But it's not so simple. Because of our rebellious attitude. There are some devotees, I like to hear these childhood pastimes of Krishna. No, they're not really devotees, but they say that, well, later this dancing with the gopis, and that's not very good. He's good as a child. So they have the idea that Krishna will come again and this time he'll be moral. He still has some things to sort out. They're rascals, actually. It's not proper devotees at all. And others, they just don't want to deal with it at all. They don't even want to think about it. They don't discuss it at all. They know it's there, but they just don't want to discuss it. I'm thinking of Madhva. He just leaves it. He does make some comment also. So it is very highest aspiration. The highest aspiration is given to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam. But we can't just be on the, just take it as a hobby or a little enjoyment here and a little bhakti there. Then we become sahajya type. And then how much the enjoyment will degrade, there's no limit. We don't know how far down you can go once we admit the possibility of enjoying the senses. How far down can you go? We're surprised sometimes, we hear it, how degraded human society is, what people are doing. But it's the same propensity that's within our heart. We hear so many horrible stories. Well, better we don't hear them, but what people are doing to each other in various parts of the world. Horrible things. Inhuman. Why are they doing it? It's the same seed of desire. The same thing that when we are thinking, how can I enjoy myself? that seed of desire, if it's not first, the first level is to control it, and the next thing is to purify it by all thing, all Krishna te akila cheshta, do everything for Krishna's pleasure. But that seed of desire for material enjoyment, if that can drag us down and down and down. Once it's out of control, then we can go to any level. There's a murder, rape, just extremely, extremely nasty. I say, no, I couldn't do that. Well, I cannot say that I haven't done it. I don't know how many bad things, have I done in previous lives, or even in this life, the innocent act of sticking some meat in our mouth. How bad is that? We don't think it's very bad because we think, well, pretty much everyone does that, but it's extremely bad. So it's very nice to hear Krishna's pastimes. But Krita Punya Punjaha, Srila Prabhupada, as he often did, quotes this, it requires a very, very high level of purification to be able to enter those pastimes. And this initiation today is meant for that. But step by step. Fairly often I get mails, or someone tells me, or I hear someone else tells me, and someone else has told them of a devotee who's chanting Hare Krishna and experiencing tremendous ecstasy, thinking of Krishna's pastimes, or they're aspiring for that. So, all right, nice, good. But do you also sometimes think of things related to sense gratification? Are you really there? Is it the real thing? Have a look in the Nectar of Devotion. Shadow ecstasy, or reflection ecstasy. It can be that one has some feeling like that, but it may be a shadow of the real thing. If still desires are going on for sense gratification, then that ecstasy we may feel, it may feel to us like a fully spiritual emotion. And we tend to take our feelings very seriously. But we should learn from Shastra that our feelings, as long as we're in the conditioned state, our feelings are very dangerous. Because our understanding of what is right and what is wrong is always influenced by the material energy, the illusory energy, which is trying to drag us away from Krishna. And even in the name of ecstasy, spiritual ecstasy, we may be being pulled away from Krishna. It sounds ridiculous. I had a realization many years ago about spiritual ecstasy in Bangladesh. I got a lot of realizations about spiritual ecstasy because it was going on all around me, at least a show of it. Seeing devotees doing kirtan, jumping up and down, and playing mridanga in full blast, heavy bhav, and they were chanting Jai Jagat Bandhu Maha Udharan and the rest of a mantra glorifying some bogus incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's bogus. It's just one of many in Bangladesh. There's so many bogus avatars. But it seemed to them, obviously, that they're really getting a high on that. But it was bogus. So we have to be guided by Shastra, by the Acharyas. This point we often hear that, well, we all have to follow Srila Prabhupada, and Our gurus aren't that important because we're really all following Prabhupada. But okay, all right. But how about following by eating only food offered to Krishna? That's a good start, isn't it? You're talking about we don't really need our guru. Yeah, our guru's okay. Little bit okay, not that much okay. But anyway, I'm really following Prabhupada. Okay, do it. Listen what he says. Hear what he says. Read what he says. And don't eat kami food. And gopi bhav, if you feel it nice, maybe it's nice. Maybe it's an obstacle, you're feeling all these things. It could very well be, I'm already feeling it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you go and you have a feeling for eating chocolate or whatever. So again, feelings can be very dangerous. We have to follow the path chalked out by the Mahajanas. And if you are feeling something good, all right, very good, very nice. But what are you doing to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission? That we have to see also. How are we contributing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement? How are we contributing to the welfare of mankind by distributing knowledge of Krishna? Distributing knowledge of Krishna. Okay, drop everything. Go out on book distribution. Great. But someone has to manage the temple also. Someone has to clean the temple. Someone has to worship the deities. There are so many things to be done. So we may think that, well, I'm doing book distribution. I'm top. I'm the best. There are other things to do also. Someone has to do all the maya of printing the books, talking with karmis, getting quotations, seeing different standards of paper, thinking of the logistics of sending the books and managing the book distribution. Someone here has to manage the books and the accounts. They may think, oh, you're just sitting in the temple. I'm out on book distribution. But you can do that book distribution because others are doing all the background work. Someone has to do that. Someone thinks that sitting in Vrindavan, chanting, that's the highest. And all these temple managers, they're all in maya because they're not sitting chanting all day like I do. But you can chant all day because the temple managers are managing the temple and making an arrangement so that you can do so. So initiation, we're simply asking, be sincere. Be serious. Sincere means anyabhilashita shunya. To be free or to be free from the desire for having desires. We it's not that overnight we're going to be free from material desires. But our clear aspiration and goal in life is to serve Krishna, Krishnanushilanam, to serve Krishna with no other motive. That's sincerity. And serious tivrena bhakti yogena. To perform devotional service very intensely. Which for us at our level means, as Srila Prabhupada wrote in so many letters, again and again and again, follow the four regulative principles, chant at least 16 rounds of the Maha Mantra every day, rise early, go to Mangalati, attend the program, read the books, engage in the Sankirtan mission. So being strict is not a disqualification. It's not something wrong. It's the minimum required. But that's all. It's not, as Srila Prabhupada often said, Krishna consciousness is a simple process. It's very simple. But we have to follow it. It's just like the medicine in the bottle. You can purchase the medicine, but you have to take it. So you have to take that. And of course, it's not that everyone always can follow everything that's actually stated, and it's not fanatical. It's understood if someone is sick that they may not follow everything, all the program. They may even miss chanting for some days. When the body is old and infirm, it has its limitations. So all these things are understood, and allowances are made for that. But sincere means we don't look for the excuse and take it as a norm. Again, thinking back to Bangladesh, one devotee was there. So he said, "Come on, Prabhu, you can't get up at 8 o'clock every morning. You've got to get up and go to Mangalarti." He said, "Well, Prabhupada said his father used to rise late, a little late every morning. And Prabhupada's instructions to rise early, his example of rising early, and the standard of rising early, and he finds somewhere in Prabhupada Lilamrita that his father used to rise a little late, and that's it." That becomes the excuse. Of course, that he did puja up till late night also. So if we're looking for excuses, we can find. Krishna knows what's in our heart, so we can't cheat Krishna. He's very tough to cheat. Even you see here, the cowherd boys are trying to cheat him. But he refuses to be cheated. He maybe had dirt in his mouth, but he covered it up by showing a whole universe. He covers something up, he covered it up with the whole universe. Krishna's the greatest cheat. Dyutam chalayatam asmi. I am gambling among cheats, Krishna says. So straightforward process. Chant Hare Krishna. Do your best. Those who are householder devotees, in most cases, they can't follow the program to the minimum standard that Srila Prabhupada wanted from initiated devotees. Of course, 16 rounds, 4 regulative principles. That is the vow, but Srila Prabhupada expected of initiated devotees to rise early, attend Mangalarti, and then chant. He didn't say you have to chant 16 rounds in the morning, but the standard time was given for that, a japa period. So all these things were expected. But we see nowadays that the pressure of life in the money-oriented society. Everything runs on money. The world runs on money, not on love. And to get money, you have to work, and the person who's paying you wants to squeeze every drop of blood as much as he can for every paisa he gives you. So, long hours, hard work and not much pay. And here in Brahmacharya life, we offer long hours, hard work and no pay. That's a better deal, Brahmacharya life. But in household life, you work hard, you get some money. It may be that you're making a considerable amount of money. But whatever. The nature of life in the modern day is that people have to work hard just to maintain their families. So do your best. Follow the 4 regulative principles. Chant 16 rounds. rise as early as you can. Come together with devotees, chant, read the books. You can read together online, that's also some popular devotional act nowadays with the benefit of the internet. Do your best and look to the future. We may die at any moment, but grihasthas can also think, Varnashram system, I don't have to stay, or I shouldn't stay in the home all the life. The men are supposed to become Vanaprasthas. I'm thinking of this especially because I've been going through a book which Jayadvaita Maharaj has compiled on Vanaprastha life. So I'm just thinking of this especially. Vanaprastha means, what is that? Vanangatam, vanangatim yadharam ashrayata. To go to the forest and take shelter of Hari, so that can be Vrindavan or Mayapur, or it can be any temple where one can get service. But thinking that, making plans, how I'll be fully engaged in Krishna's service. Now I'm engaged, looking after a family can also be seen as Krishna's service, but in many ways it can be indirect, and one has to associate with the material world in many ways in a materialistic way. If you're working with a boss, or even if you're running a company, you have to deal with the people around you in a materialistic way. You can't avoid that. So you can make your plans to retire from that timely. One of the chapters in the first canto, Srila Prabhupada has given the title to that, "The Pandavas Retire Timely." Means when they saw it's time to leave home, they left home. And also for householders, younger householders also, the ones who are really tivra, really intense about their devotional service, and for whom their circumstances allow, they can go to the farm communities where they can live in association of devotees and have full devotional service. So these are some thoughts. Make farms, make Vrindavan everywhere. We have to make our farms like Vrindavan, but not dancing with gopis. We should worship Krishna and take example of how to live life from Rama. Some thoughts on Krishna's trying to fool his mother here. Hare Krishna. Any thoughts, comments, questions, protests? Yeah, Mike, we need a mic.
Question. We're talking about eating food that's not prasadam, it's not offered to Krishna. But we see that devotees travel, sometimes overseas on aeroplanes and sometimes on trains and long distances, so they don't necessarily have deities. If they have to eat, they might have to take some food that's cooked by non-devotees.
Maybe.
Is that offerable?
Maybe. I used to go on the trains from Howrah to Bombay quite regularly. This was 1970s, 1980s, 1990s, and you'd see most families who are traveling would bring their own food. They'd typically, Marwaris, they'd bring puris and achar, the pickle. And they'd get by with that. They'd buy some fruit. They were strict.
So take your own.
Yeah, take your own food. Sometimes you may not be able to follow fully. That's accepted. But as a general rule, one should follow as strictly as possible.
I used to comment on the restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're saying, it seems that the restaurants are... they're really there for enjoying.
They are, yeah. Restaurants are for enjoying, and Srila Prabhupada wanted that in his temples, yeah. that people can come and enjoy prasadam. It's a beginning.
But I'm saying devotees tend to use them for enjoying, rather than they should.
Yeah, well, if you're going to enjoy Krishna prasadam. It's not that we overnight give up all desires for enjoyment. If you go to a devotee restaurant where it's actually cooked by devotees and offered to Krishna, then that's... You want enjoyment, you want to take your family out. We don't expect the every family to live like brahmacharis. So, yeah, take your family out and take them there. We can make the temples also such that it's worth visiting. It's a family outing. That has traditionally been, in Indian culture, the family outing is to the temple. And it's enjoyable. Of course, people didn't have so many fantastic things for sense enjoyment at all kinds of spectacular low-class levels. But people would take enjoyment in festivals, singing, dancing. Srila Prabhupada talks about this in his purports. Practically that tadvag visargo janataga viplavaha, that purport is practically a manifesto of Srila Prabhupada's mission. The rich people should give money, and then for sponsoring festivals where people could come, no one will refuse to attend if there's good music, good food. Like this. On the subject of restaurant at this temple, Mukunda Datta Prabhu has suggested not to have one. So we're thinking about that also, because at least here in South India, it's not really the bhav to come to a temple to eat. It's a very reverent kind of mood. Whereas people go to a holy place in North India, and it's a different mood. Especially those two places, Puri and Nathdwara. They're famous for prasadam, and people go and they take darshan, and they also they enjoy nice food. But the mood is a little different here. We can instead have mass-free distribution, and that's an idea. I tend to go along with that.
Another point. Hare Krishna. Another point about the restaurants. I've observed, at least in Delhi, Gopal Krishna Maharaj is very strict about devotees not going to the restaurant. I don't know if there's a rule or anything, but you cannot...
You mean his brahmacharis? The grihasthas can go, surely.
Well, they can go, but if you do go there as an initiated devotee, you're definitely going to feel out of place.
Really? Okay, well, good for him.
It seems as if there's an unwritten rule that it's discouraged because it is implicitly meant for the outside people and not for the inside people.
I see.
So that's...
But then his disciples everywhere are eating kami. So... The idea is that it's not the way of saying, you may say very strict and don't eat kami food. But then the prasad, as Srila Prabhupada said, the prasadam should be so nice. He was talking about the grihastas in Los Angeles cooking at home. Prabhupada said the temple prasad should be so nice that they won't want to cook at home. In London, I joined there in 1975, and so many devotees would come from America to India, and India to America, and there weren't direct flights in those days from America to India, non-stop. There weren't non-stop flights. So many devotees liked to stop off in London, and especially they'd heard of the beauty of Radha Landanishwar, and also about the Radha Landanishwar's prasadam. So I'm not sure which was the main attraction out of those two, but they were definitely quite eager for the prasadam. No. We didn't have a restaurant. There was no room to move. No, that came much later. Yeah. The prasadam. Kulangana was the head cook at that time. She's famous for the manor, but she started her career in Berry Place. And it wasn't just cooking sweets. But she was quite strict also. She said, during the week, Prabhupada said, simple, and then, but the weekend feast was just a knock, really. I asked the town president, Vichit Chavira, at the time, I said, why did Prabhupada allow this Sunday feast? Because all the devotees were just, they'd drag themselves up the stairs. There were like five stories up to the Brahmacharya ashram, and then they'd just collapse, and they'd be groaning all after. Everyone would eat so much. So I asked him, why did Prabhupada allow these feasts when everyone just totally overeats? And he immediately answered that if we didn't have the feast, we'd all bloop. Which is maybe true. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Such pious people. You all are. What it means to bring people in the West, it's amazing. It's amazing that people are coming all, at all. But they are. Every spirit soul is an eternal servant of Krishna. That's the faith that Prabhupada had when he went to preach in the West. They can take up Krishna consciousness. It doesn't seem like it. Prabhupada was able to find some spark underneath. Oh yeah, we're talking about krita punya punjaha, krita papa punjaha. Underneath heaps and heaps of sinfulness, Srila Prabhupada found a little spark and fanned that spark. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.